It is time now for the Border News Roundup Friday mornings. We get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. He's the publisher and editor of the Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being with us again.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's start off with a continuing story about Frontier Communications and the Public Utilities Commission. What is happening now?
Well, the Public Utilities Commission voted unanimously last Thursday to open a formal investigation into Frontier Communications, as well as they would hold public hearings in Frontier service territory as part of that investigation. We talked about this, I think, the week before, and that was, you know, the Public Utilities Commission staff, based on the complaints that they've been getting from customers of Frontier, had recommended doing an investigation and holding public hearings. And so the PUC opted in this meeting to put that into the form of an order. And as a result of that, then now they'll be appointing an administrative law judge who would then kind of oversee this process and would be at all of the public hearings, would, you know, take that testimony that that comes in from customers of Frontier around the state, issue some findings and make some recommendations as a result of that. Hopefully something will get done to address some of the concerns that people have raised. I mean, this all started back in January when the Public Utilities Commission had started soliciting comments from Frontier customers, and they'd gotten an earful. They had, within the first 5 weeks, they had over 450 comments come in, which is a dramatic response to a situation like this. I mean, typically when they request public comments, they're maybe going to get a dozen. So this definitely got their attention. It certainly made the case that there was a lot of concern out there. I mean, people have raised objections about just the quality of service, erratic internet, you know, long time delays when they have service outages, as well as a lot of complaints about billing practices. And the company would make promises of, you know, a certain price, and then the price would be different when you get the bill, and, you know, people end up spending long periods of time on hold trying to get, you know, bills corrected. And, you know, it really became kind of a nuisance issue for people. So all these things presumably will be looked at. Now, it's not clear that the PUC has the authority to address all of these issues. They really only have authority over telecommunications, so it wouldn't necessarily be able to address some of the concerns about internet or even billing practices, but there are other state agencies such as the Department of Commerce and the Attorney General's office that could, you know, take some of the findings in those areas and pursue some kind of case against Frontier.
Something they probably don't want to be happening, but it's going
definitely
forward.
They didn't want to have these public hearings necessarily either, and they also objected to the PUC's order that they have to advertise these hearings in newspapers all across their service territory.
Uh-huh.
They thought that was an expense that they didn't want to incur, but the PUC said, that's too bad.
So public hearings to come, dates will be
later, yep.
There we go. Well, let's move on to another story. This is big news, retirement of Roland Fowler. For those who don't know, who is Roland?
Well, Roland has been the official weather observer for the National Weather Service in Embarrass for over 30 years, and, you know, he's gotten a lot of publicity, I think, partly because he's definitely a character, but also, you know, he reports some pretty impressive temperatures most of the time. Embarrass has definitely developed a reputation as the cold spot. In fact, that's the name of the local liquor store there, which is located just a half mile from Roland's house. And Roland has been on the national news more than once. He's been on Jimmy Kimmel. He's been on all kinds of different television and radio appearances. He's been on the Garrison Keillor show, you know, years ago. You know, he's certainly become kind of a local personality. And if you haven't heard Roland, I mean, he talks with a very slow drawl. And, you know, so it takes a little while to get through some of his stories just because he does speak a little slower. But anyway, he's been involved in, you know, obviously the big competition between Tower and Embarrass over, you know, which is the coldest location. And in fact, I think the day that it hit 60 below in Tower was probably the worst day in Roland's life, because his electronic thermometer went on the blink. It started reading error at minus 58. And he's sure he was colder, but he had no way to prove it.
Oh.
And, you know, and then you have to wait, you know, how many years before you get another opportunity to get that cold. And he'd been hoping and hoping, but it just didn't come. And finally, you know, he decided he'd better hang it up. It probably wasn't going to happen, at least in his lifetime. So he's passing it on to a new observer, and they were very cautious about this. You know, there's a lot of focus in Embarrass on those temperatures, and so they want to make sure that the new location is going to be equally as cold as Roland's house. And so they had to do some pre-testing, but it is going to move to the Cold Spot Liquor Store, and the owners of that business there are going to maintain the weather records from now on and check the weather every morning. And they did verify that on just about every morning they're within a degree of the temperatures at Roland's house, so they figure that's safe. You know, because what happened in Tower several years ago when the longtime observer hung it up, they went to a new location, and it was a little higher elevation, and it got warmer, you know, because around here the cold tends to settle down into the low spots. And so they wanted to make sure in Embarrass that that did not happen and that they'd be able to hang on to their reputation.
It's Marshall Helmberger. It's a Border News Roundup. Marshall, let's move on to another story. You have an update for us on the bat situation at the Sudan underground mine. What is going on with the bats right now?
Well, we're seeing a continuation of, apparently, of the die-off that, you know, we've been talking about over the last few years, and this is a result of the white nose syndrome, which was first detected in the Sudan mine in 2013. But typically it takes a couple of years from the time when this fungus is detected until it starts to really affect the bat population, and definitely kind of in full swing right now. The impact looks fairly serious. In fact, they did a survey, kind of a standard survey that they do every year. And in the recent past, when they would do this one survey, and it was just a section of the mine, there's all kinds of portions of the mine where the bats hibernate. But typically in this one section that they would survey every year, they were getting between 600 and 900 bats. And in the most recent one, it's down to 116. So if that's a reflection of the bat population throughout the mine, that shows a pretty dramatic fall off in the bat numbers. And they knew this last year. In fact, a lot of bats had emerged from the mine last year during the middle of the winter. So they were actually picking up hundreds and even thousands of dead bats last year, because they would fly out and it'd be cold outside, and bats are not designed for those kinds of temperatures, and they would quickly die. Now, this year, they haven't seen very many emerging, and they were thinking maybe that's a good sign, but it also could mean there just aren't as many bats down there. But the other thought is that these bats maybe are finding other parts of the mine where the conditions are less conducive to the growth of this fungus. It appears that in areas that are cooler and with more fresh air, the fungus doesn't seem to do as well. So they're at least hoping that bats are relocating to other parts of the mine where there's more cold air coming in. They didn't actually go and survey some of those areas this year. They're actually trying to be very careful not to do that, because they don't want to be disturbing bats. You know, even bats that have like a mild infection with this white nose syndrome, basically it acts as an irritant. And the problem is it wakes bats up in the middle of the winter when there isn't any food, and it burns up their fat reserves too soon, and they don't survive the winter. So the park staff is, you know, really aware of the fact that they don't want to disturb the bats any more than they have to. So that's why they ran a more limited survey this year.
Well, some of these stories, a lot of stories right now, have to do with winter. You looked a little more deeply into it, like how bad is it? It feels like it's been a pretty long and pretty tough winter. What'd you find out?
Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of it, I think, has to do with the fact that we've probably been spoiled a little bit by about three straight milder-than-average winters. So this one seems bad. But when you actually look at it, you know, from December through the end of March, was cooler than normal. It was 3.2 degrees colder than normal, which, you know, that's really not that much. It's certainly within kind of the normal range of variability that you're going to see in winter temperatures. When you start getting a departure of, you know, 6 degrees or more one way or another, then that's pretty dramatic. So, you know, yes, it was a cooler than normal winter, but it wasn't, you know, dramatic. Nowhere near as cold as, say, what we had in 2014. That was a much colder winter. And then it was also a little bit drier. We didn't have as much snow as normal. But there is one interesting thing, and I'm going to be following up on this next week. I've been in consultation with the state climatologist about this one, because it turns out we may set a new record this year for the longest period of continuous snow cover in the state, at least up here in northern St. Louis County, where we've had snow cover since October 27th, and we didn't lose it at any time. We've had continuous snow cover since then. And currently, the record for the longest period of continuous snow cover is 172 days. At least that's according to the state climatologist. That's all he could find on the computer. He's going to do a little more research, he said, looking at some older paper records to see if they can find any documentation of a longer period than that. But as of Friday, as of today, actually, we will be at 162 days here, and we probably have a good 16 to 18 inches of snow on the ground yet. So, you know, chances are pretty good that we're going to go at least another 10 days, given the forecast, with continuous snow cover. So chances are very good we're going to beat that 172 days. And if we don't find a longer record than that, claim at least that we've documented the longest period of continuous snow cover. So you got to find something to do in the winter, right?
That's right. And your crust skiing continues, you said?
Oh, it's great, yeah. We'll have crust skiing, I suspect, for weeks yet. So
okay. Sounds great. Well, have a good weekend. We'll check in with you next week, Marshall.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
That is the Border News Roundup. You hear it Friday mornings on KAXE KBXE.